You know, it's amazing to me all of the different personalized choices that we have to make each day. To choose what to wear or what to eat or what to think, say, or do is just incredible. I read somewhere that as humans, we make over 35,000 decisions a day. And I don't know who could calculate that by walking around with a legal pad thinking about that. Maybe the choices that we have to make are amazing to you as well. You know, some of the choices that we make sort of come to us without a lot of thought process taking place. But some choices require decisions that we have to really weigh out and think about. And some of those decisions can present a challenge to us as well as to those around us, and especially to God. So what are the choices you are currently confronted with in life? And overall, is God's will a major part in all of the decisions of your choices? Now, in our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, the Lord God was speaking through Moses. Moses, as he was addressing the ancient Israelites, and they are standing on the banks of the Jordan River about to cross over into a new way of life, a land that God was granting them for possession. And prior to this, the Israelites had wandered some 40 years aimlessly through the wilderness to get to this point. And as they were standing on the banks of the Jordan River, they were reflecting upon how they had had to struggle all of that time, those 40 years through the wilderness. Yet God used that time of wilderness within them to strengthen their faith, where they could make a choice to follow the Lord. And they were about to cross over into this new transformed life. And I think God sometimes gives us wilderness experiences in our life to deepen our faith, to move us in such a way that we learn to rely and put our trust and make a choice to follow the Lord. I know those have been struggles in my life and perhaps in yours too. So Moses is giving them last minute instructions, and in verse 19, he said, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live." Now, this passage actually contains everything that we believe about the Bible to be true. And that is, God desires more than anything else than to be in a close, personal, ongoing, intimate relationship with us. A covenant relationship. And as Christians, our relationship to God comes through our faith in Jesus Christ, through his cross and resurrection. And we know Jesus came not to abolish all of the Old Testament laws of God, but to fulfill them within him. Within Jesus. Yet it is by our covenant witness to Jesus that you and I are given the ability to have a special choice. A choice to fully accept true life in him through God's grace, or we can reject him altogether. Now, knowing this, we naturally want to choose life. We want to be in a saving relationship with God. But yet, what are the requirements that we need to fulfill to be in this ongoing relationship, covenant relationship with our Savior? Because a covenant, it's like an agreement, right? I mean, there's something required from each party who come together and bind this agreement. We have to do something. How many times have you loaded new software on your computer or an app on your phone, and you hit the download and it had to go through all that sequence and time, and then at the end pops up these two important questions. Do you agree or do you disagree? And of course, that's the licensing agreement to the software that you uploaded on your device. And if you hit disagree, it just bumps you out altogether and puts you back to the curb, and you have to start all over reloading that software. I've done it before. But to agree to that licensing software, you know, you look at it and it's in a small little tiny window, and you have to bring it, expand it larger, and it's in that small 0.8 font, and it's just pages after pages after pages. And you're like, I don't have time for this. And you just hit agree, right? Have you ever really considered what we might be agreeing to when we hit that I agree button? We just want to move on. Well, fortunately, God's agreement to affirm our yes to choose life, it's very simple. Yet it is this kind of life that God requires just more than a simple choice on our fact to hit yes and just move on. Yes, I agree. To choose yes under God's conditions require the utmost of our faith, putting all of our faith forward in Him. It takes action. Because this is the way it has always been, and this is the way it continues to be. And it's outlined right here in our first reading from Deuteronomy, verse 16 of chapter 30. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I give you today, if you love Him, obey Him, and keep all of His laws, then you will prosper and become a nation of people. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to occupy. So there are three important directives in this covenant identity that we, you and I, enter into with the Lord. And there's these three important terms that I want us to focus on this morning. And the first is, in our relationship to God through Christ, we are to love God. Secondly, we are to obey God. And thirdly, we are to follow His laws. Sounds real easy, right? This is why it requires the utmost of our faith, putting our faith forward in everything we do. So to love God, that certainly doesn't mean just on Sunday mornings. That means to always place God first before everything else. To love God completely with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, no matter what circumstance of life or wilderness period that may confront us. Because God's going to see us through whatever we are involved in, good or bad. Because God always keeps God's promise. God always keeps God's end of the agreement. And God's agreement is our deliverance in salvation. Just like the Israelites crossed over to occupy and receive deliverance from the Lord. Now, during this season, this upcoming season of Lent, there's 40 days to Lent. And Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, which is February the 26th. And I want to invite each of us to order this book. There's information in your worship handout about this book, and there'll soon be information on our website. You can get this from Amazon for about $8. You can buy it used, that's already marked up, for about $2. And I want to encourage each of us to order this book for Lent. It's called Draw the Circle, 40-Day Prayer Challenge. It's by Mark Batterson. And each page is a day meditational that draws you into prayer. A day meditational that will draw you into prayer. And I want all of us to pray together through the 40-day period of Lent. And I'm going to be preaching every Sunday during Lent on this book. I'm going to be hosting an adult Sunday school session each week, each Sunday during Lent on this book. So you really can't get away from it. But I want you to participate individually, spiritually, by reading this book. We're also going to group together into fellowship groups throughout the weeks of Lent to deepen our faith with each other and to share our relationship to God and Christ. So I want to invite you all to participate. You've got about a week and a half to order your book and be ready on Ash Wednesday. And this experience is going to be powerful for each of us. You know, part of our love language to God is our prayer to Him and how we deepen our relationship to Him, to the voice, our prayer voice that we lift up to Him. And it's very important that we do this together through this time of Lent. To love God. Second term of the agreement is to obey God. Now, these aren't three separate entities that we have to accomplish one before we get to the other. They all work together. And in verse 16, to obey God means that we choose life, which also means to walk in God's holy ways. To walk in God's holy ways. From the very beginning of a biblical narrative, we know about Adam and Eve. They were given a choice to either walk with the Lord God or to walk choosing their own way. If they walked with the Lord God, they would receive life and fullness. If they chose to walk in their own ways, they would receive rebellion, death, and curse. And of course, we know what happened. And as Romans chapter 5, verse 12 reminds us, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and woman, and death through sin, and in this way, in our own way, death came to all people because all sinned. So left to our own human nature, we will choose life on our own terms. For we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. And that brings us to the third term of this agreement, the covenant we keep with God, and that is to keep God's commandments. Now, being in a relationship with God is not simply following a long list of rules, thou shall not, because those rules as laws, none of us have the full capacity to follow to the letter, right? You know, 8 out of 10 is not bad, right? But God's laws, they are in place to show us and to remind us of all the areas of our life where we have fallen short of God's glory, where we have chosen our way over and against God's way. And God's law then directs us for our need for Jesus, our Savior, where we can go to Him and confess in prayer, where we can receive redemption by the light of God's grace, which is choosing life to its fullest. Now, in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus clarified what it means to be in the light of God's grace in terms of this covenant identity of choosing life in Him. And throughout that reading, Jesus sort of reinterprets all of the law of God within Himself. He said, "You have heard that it is said, but I say to you." Anytime Jesus says, "I say to you," we need to pay attention. And what this means is just left to our own choice. We tend to interpret God's laws on our own terms. You know, it's either this or that. It's black or it is white. You see, it says right here, if you do that, you are going to fry. The 8 o'clockers didn't understand that humor. But this is why Jesus responded in verse 36. "Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." In other words, we know the law states, "Thou shalt not murder." Now, don't get me wrong. Protecting ourselves and our loved ones against evil is something altogether different. So please don't send me an email, okay? But as God's law states, you shall not murder. And we could interpret that law to mean, well, I can hate that person over there. I can commit road rage. I can be very angry at that person. But if I don't murder them, then I guess I'm good to go, right? Or again, God's law states, you shall not commit adultery. But if we choose to fantasize about someone else, if we choose to go on our computer and to view that certain image or go to that channel on our TV, but if we don't physically touch anyone, then we haven't committed adultery, right? And you know, Jesus is reminding us that even if our eye or our hand causes us to choose our own way over and against God's way, then we have sinned and we have breached the covenant that we have made with God. We have broken that covenant. And Jesus wants us to confess the sin and brokenness to Him. Jesus wants us to get the help that we need to come clean before Him. And this is why the law of God is in place, to hold us accountable, where we can amend our mistakes, where we can learn from our mistakes. This is what it means to be in a covenant, ongoing relationship with God through Christ. And our Lord knows we are far from perfect. But to choose life means that we must be willing to undergo always a spiritual transformed heart to Him. A changed heart that can only come through by putting all of our faith forward in Him. And Jesus said, recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one chooses life except through Jesus. Amen. And loving God, obeying God, and keeping God's commandments all become evidence of God's most gracious work within us. This becomes our relationship to God in Christ. This is all the pattern of our relationship to God in Christ. This is why Jesus died on a cross, to embrace God's forgiveness. We are not about perfection, we are about reconciliation. So choosing to say yes to a fulfilled life that is centered in God's grace is what God's word is implying upon us today. So ask yourself, what are the choices in life that you are making? Are you yes to God or no? But in faith, let our yes be yes. And let's fully live more into our relationship with God through Jesus. And let's become more and more transformed through our faith to the power of God's grace moving among us. Amen.